Good morning. Welcome to the last day of GDC. It has been a long week, so thank you for taking the time to attend this session. I was asked to tell you guys to silence your cell phones, just like you do in a movie theater, so thank you for doing that. A few months ago, I was getting worried that my daughter was spending way too much time on her Xbox. Now, don't try this at home. The only conflict-free way I could find to limit her playtime was to secretly disable the cooling fan on the Xbox power supply. So she would get to play for maybe about 15 minutes or so before the Xbox would thermally shut down. So most of you in the room today are carrying powerful smartphones with 4 cores, and so I'm really worried that in a few months we'll see all those cool Xbox games move to cell phones and I will not be able to do the same trick. She will play hours and hours of games and without any recourse. Or would she? Hi, I'm Yulian Kalinov. I'm a program manager with the Fundamentals team in the Operating Systems Group Division at Microsoft. This is the division that used to be called Windows until about a year ago. And we're going to chat today about the challenges of developing games on mobile phones. Now, those 4-core mobile phones that you get to carry around, they have a lot of processing power. And it's a great opportunity for you guys to take all those highly immersive, fluid games and move them to those smartphones and showcase the capabilities of the smartphones as well as, and doing so while making sure that devices have really good battery life and don't really melt in the user's hands. So how can this be done? Now we know if you started developing those type of games, you know that these games are pushing the thermal limits of these devices. I was walking through the GDC show, and I was noticing those super powerful PCs that have you could watch through the glass and see that they had powerful graphics cards with fans spinning and pulling out all the heat. You can't do that on mobile phones. Mobile phones can only dissipate heat naturally. They don't have fans. And there is a 5-watt limit on how much heat they can dissipate sustainably. Now, on a short-term basis, the CPUs on the mobile phones can actually exceed that 5-watt limit, and there's no problem whatsoever. However, if you have a game that's sustainable playing at a level of performance that exceeds the 5 watts, the device will start to overheat within a few minutes. And again, they don't have fans. So there are a number of measures that device manufacturers take to cool them down. And the most impactful for you as the game developers is to reduce the maximum frequencies available to the CPU and the GPU. And when that happens, obviously, the performance will be impacted. And sometimes it will be impacted in a very meaningful way. A game that you guys designed to run at 60 frames per second will all of a sudden start to run at a variable frame rate of 30 frames per second or less. And you'll see glitching and artifacts, not a good experience. So if you think that problem if you think this is a problem today, in a few months, we will see devices with 8 cores that offer incredible level of performance. I mean, my laptop today doesn't have 8 cores, right? So the level of performance you'll see will be significantly increasing in these 8-core devices. However, the thermal challenges will be equally great, right? These new devices will have this more processing power. This will have more ability to dissipate heat. However, they will not come with fans. They will still be bound by the 5-watt limit on how much heat they can dissipate. And the main impact on you is you may start the game with a high level of performance that impresses people. However, to get to something more sustainable, the game will suffer a significant decrease in performance in order to stay within that 5-watt limit. We did an experiment a few months ago, and I will share with you the data from that to just give you a sense of what happens with a game that is not playing at a sustainable level of performance. So we took one of the most popular highest-end devices running Windows. What you see here is how the frame rate changed as we were playing the game for a span of about 2 hours. Now, this is, a high-end device with the highest performance processor available. And we were playing this game while the device was charging in an ambient temperature about 30 degrees Celsius, which is 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Not an uncommon temperature in a tropical climate. And what you notice for the first 5 to 10 minutes, the game was a very popular game in the Windows Store. The game happens to be a very popular game in all the stores. It's a cross-platform game. It's one of those car racing games that engages people and is really cool. And the game at that time was designed to run at 60 frames per second. And if you notice, in the first 5 to 10 minutes, things were going smooth, right? Like the game was delivering as expected. The performance was really good. But then the performance started to vary a lot, right? This is not something that game developers and game users really like. They will notice variable level of performance. In fact, it's much better to be at a sustainable level of lower performance than to have highly variable frame rate. And you see in time that there was no really way to tell what caused this, right? So the performance dropped to a relatively low level, recovered some, dropped again, and then eventually stabilized to roughly 30 frames per second. Now, what you don't see here in this graph is at this time, at some point, there were various thermal mitigations taken. Some of them was parking two cores. Some of them was not charging. Charging a phone draws a lot of power. So while the game was playing with the phone plugged into power, the user thought that the battery was charging and everything was fine, when in fact, within a few minutes of playing the game, the device was no longer charging in order to avoid dissipating the heat that's related to charging. Other mitigations that happened during that gameplay were, for example, dimming the display. So what you may have after 2 hours of gameplay, it's a device that's discharging, feels really warm, and the display is actually quite dim, right? And then we repeated the exact same experiment with the exact same conditions. The only thing that we changed was the maximum frame rate that the device would deliver. That's the only change we made, right? So we went from 60 frames per second, and we made a change to limit the frame rate to 40 frames per second. And what you notice that the device was able to deliver that level of performance continuously over more than 2 hours. And the device didn't have a dim display, and the device was charging, and everything was fairly smooth, right? The main lesson from this experiment for you is once the device overheats, its ability to dissipate heat decreases significantly. So for the same level of performance, a device that is hot will consume more power than a device that is cool, right? Really, really important. Once a device overheats, it cannot dissipate heat as good just because it requires more power to deliver the desired level of performance. Now, something that is also interesting, during the same experiment, we actually measured the temperature in various sensors on the device. I mentioned this was a high-end device, and it's a device that has a plastic back. However, the frame is metal. And metal has this interesting characteristic. What you see here is the temperature in degrees Celsius. Metal, when it heats to 55 degrees, can cause physical burns to the skin. And when it goes above 42 degrees, it starts to feel really uncomfortable to the user. So what you see here in purple is the back of the device, which is made of plastic. We didn't really reach a safety limit, but the device still felt uncomfortable. And that level of temperature was achieved fairly quickly while we were playing at 60 frames per second. However, at 40 frames per second, it took much longer for the device to hit a level of temperature that would make it feel uncomfortable or too hot, right? So very important. So what does it mean for you? Now, if you have a game that doesn't require a lot of CPU or GPU usage on a sustained basis, you don't have to do anything. It is okay for the CPU and GPU to consume more than 5 watts for a few seconds, maybe half a minute. Totally okay. The device can cope with that type of a situation. So if you're developing a game of chess with many graphics, it is okay to load at full speed. It is okay to have the animations running at 16 frames per second for just a few seconds. Nothing will happen. Things are good. However, if you're implementing a highly interactive game where you expect a fluid experience, you have to experiment a little bit. You have to be very judicious about the level of performance that you want your game to deliver in order to achieve a sustainable performance across the gameplay. Unless, obviously, you expect the game to be played for 5 minutes or less, in which case you don't really care, right? Now, this requires some experimentation. There are hundreds, maybe thousands of different SKUs of devices where you can't possibly experiment with all of them. There are very simple things you could do to experiment and ensure that you identify the optimal performance level. Pick a high-end device. It is amazing. High-end devices made of metal are more prone to thermal issues than low-end devices. Plastic tolerates heat better, at least as the user holding the device is concerned. So a high-end device tends to be made of metal, tends to be thinner, tends to have much powerful processor, a bigger display, and in general tends to need to dissipate more heat. Also, when you're running your experiment, make sure you're playing your game for at least half an hour so that you really get into that, get the device hot and see what's going on. Make sure you're charging the device while that's happening. And also, be aware of the ambient temperature. The ambient temperature makes a huge difference. And so if you're generally working on an air-conditioned room with cool 20 degrees Celsius, that's not going to be representative for how the device will perform in an ambient temperature of 30 degrees Celsius or 85 Fahrenheit, which is more common in tropical climates. Right. So experimentation is really important. You don't have to experiment on a wide range of devices. Pick some that are high performance and made of metal. Don't forget to charge. Now, I apologize for having so many words on this. I was told this is a no-no, but my hope is that you take this with you after you leave this session and use the information here. So let's discuss this a little bit. Let's say you experimented and you determined that the game that you ported from that big console and is now available on a mobile phone cannot be delivered sustainably at 60 frames per second. So what do you do? Well, the most important mitigation you can take is to reduce the frame rate. Going from 60 frames per second to 30 frames per second can cut 40% or more of the power consumption of the device. Really important. This is by, especially for GPU-bound games, this is the most important mitigation you can take. Another level of mitigation is try to reduce the graphics resolution. Going from 1080p to 720p will cut in half the number of bits the GPU has to move. The GPU is by far the biggest power consumer on a device, on a modern mobile device. Now, is not as big as the 8 cores put together, but the GPU alone can draw a lot of power. So minimizing the work that the GPU has to do, it's a very important way of mitigating the power consumption and therefore the heat dissipation on a device. Try to reduce the next mitigation is to try to reduce the work you're asking the CPUs to do. And that can be done in two ways. You know, you could reduce some of the physics and some of the details that you're including in the game, but parallelism is also a very important thing. For the same amount of work, modern 4-core and 8-core CPU, 4-core SoCs will do the work more efficiently on multi-threading, on multi-core than in a single core. So the same amount of work will take more power, more energy if it's done on a single core versus on 4 cores. So try to multi-thread if you can. Networking use. This is important and a bit tricky. Now, the trend that I'm noticing in the mobile game industry is to rely on advertisement for monetizing the games. And this is important. I'm not denying that. Now, however, most of the games that I've seen are relying on SDKs to do this. And the typical way these SDKs operate is you reserve some area of the screen for the advertisement, and then the SDK will pull an ad every 30 seconds from some server, and you don't have to do anything else. Now, the problem with this is if you're playing that game over LTE, that would add as much as 1 watt of power consumption while that's going on. LTE is very expensive. And LTE is very inefficient with small transactions, which these happen to be. Like you have you download an image, an ad for 30 seconds, you display it, and then you move to the next one. And I'm not saying you don't advertise, right? However, you can optimize this a little bit. LTE is more efficient when you're batching the transaction. One simple way of mitigating this is to, say, download 10 ads at the same time and rotate them for 5 minutes and then download the next batch of 10 ads. This will cause a significant reduction in power consumption, power that is available for you to play the game at a high performance. Also, networking is important on what you do in the game. Some of you are posting high scores or receiving double push notifications in multiplayer games. Be aware that LTE, when you keep the network on all the time and you're transferring the data, can consume 1.5 watts. That's close to a third of your 5-watt budget. So be very mindful of how much networking you're using, because you never know if your user will actually play on LTE versus on a local Wi-Fi that's more efficient. Be mindful of that. Most operating systems for mobile phones come today with a lot of multitasking functionality, a lot of application, a lot of ability to run code in the background, even when the user is not engaged in the game. That's a great way for you guys to keep the game player involved in a game experience, even when they're not interacting directly with the game. One of the things you could consider doing, if you can, is stopping that background processing while the game is interactively played, if you can do that. Background processing is not only using CPU time. Very often, it connects to the network. It does other things as well. So if you can limit the amount of work you're doing while the game is interactive with the user, that's another way on cutting on the overall power consumption. And finally, mobile devices, I'm focused most of my talk around the CPU and GPU just because they are high power consumers. But more and more we're seeing mobile devices coming with different types of peripherals, and sometimes we're not really aware of how much power some of those peripherals can take. We're seeing games take advantage of the camera or the flashlight or things like that. They can draw a huge amount of power. They can easily exceed 2 watts per component. So be mindful of those if you're using those type of devices and try to turn them off if you can, in order to minimize the amount of power available to the CPU and the GPU. So in summary, in order to deliver a sustainable level of performance for mobile phones, make sure you understand what is sustainable from a power perspective. Experiment, on high-end devices made of metal while charging in the right ambient temperature. And if you determine that the power consumption is too high, there are a few things that you can do to mitigate that. And remember, once a device gets hot, its ability to dissipate heat decreases significantly. So that's in summary all I had to do, or all I had to say. And now I'll open the floor for questions. Questions? No questions?
I'm not a mobile programmer, but I was just wondering, are there notifications if when, you know, the phone starts overheating or reaching a threshold?
Yeah. You mean thermal notifications, yeah. Right? Well, we wrestle with that question a lot internally and with our silicon partners, actually. So right now, the thermal notification question is tricky. We don't really have anything in the OS right now for notifications. And it is a complicated question because different devices have different pain points from a temperature perspective, right? The device made of metal, it will be quite a bad thing if the temperature is 55 degrees Celsius. However, if it's made of plastic, that's not a big deal, right? So right now, no, there are no thermal notifications. However, working hard and with our partners, and we're considering even working with our competitors to create a framework to deliver those types of notifications to the game developers so that they can actually decrease the load on the system. The challenge there is not the ability to send the notifications, but do that in a standard way that's common across all the devices and all the platforms.
Hey there. When coding my applications, are there certain types of techniques that I can use to reduce power consumption? For example, like if I'm accessing the hard drive a lot, if I'm moving things around in RAM a lot, like what are ways to write my code in a way that will prevent battery drain?
Right. Thank you for the question. So the most important thing is if you can batch the work. If you can batch the work. Now, this is not always possible, right? If you have a game that's always interactive, you can't really do that. Don't try to spread out the work too much in time. So if you have work, do it as quickly as possible, finish it up. If you have network transactions, batch those transactions close together because you're not paying the overhead for LTE. And that would definitely improve the battery life, but also reduce the thermal stress on the system. Batching is your friend. So, any more questions? Okay. Well, thanks again.